I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry by the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meals. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh rugs. Call me private label, I be leaving bread.
Hey, welcome to episode 147 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only PIMP cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, along with my pretty honey, right here. All right, as always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, just in time for the holidays, inflation. So, you know, instead of going ahead and saving that money or putting it in a bank or anything like that, you're better off getting things like new tires on your car. You're better off getting things like storable food if you don't currently have it or have a way to produce it. All of those things. So be sure to check out Heaven's Harvest, promo code PERMA. And if you would like to also check us out on the Fountain app, you can do it over there, Fountain app. You can triple up the speed. You can leave comments that we don't know how to read right now. So you don't have that option if you know what I'm talking about. But you can also drop a derivation of Bitcoin called sats. So if you want to drop some SATs on some PIMPs, go do it on the Fountain app. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to jump straight into it with a homestead honey. How you doing, baby?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks to everybody in the house. As always, please go ahead and hit that thumbs up button so they know to immediately suppress us, just like they did in the very last show. In fact, yeah, that one also got demonetized. And if you see her smiling right now, it's because she's laughing because there's a dog on the outside of this door that's making all kinds of racket that I told her to put up. Last time during the podcast, we had a cat running around here. Place looks like Dr. Doolittle's place.
There's just two animals.
Yeah, we got to speak up a little, honey.
There's just two animals.
Yeah. Well, two animals, too much, and we ain't got time for all of that. So anyway, straight into the farm news. I went and helped a friend today. I did a little bit of work for him on his house before, and he calls me up and says, hey, man, the dryer ain't working. Well, yeah, happens to the best of us. Look, y'all, I don't leave anything bare, and it's kind of embarrassing. But I disconnected his dryer the last time I was there because I thought it was under. In a nutshell, they had a bunch of these heaters in the house. It was very, very heavily electric all the way around, especially concerning the heat. Well, anyway, I get in there and I'm just, I don't know what it was. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. But anyway, disconnected my man's dryer. So he didn't have one. So I went out there, completely my fault, but I messed it up. And I'll tell you what. I told Michelle a little bit earlier, y'all, and I'll be honest with you. The amazing things that happen in terms of synchronicity are astonishing. I'm doing a lot of work right now. I'm even going to have a guest on here before too long regarding all these things floating around in the air, EMF waves, microwaves, you name it, all these things going on. I've been on this kick lately, where I've been doing a whole lot in terms of research. Anybody that's on the Patreon, you know that I've been doing a series over there regarding grounding, ways, DIY ways to ground yourself. And so I reached out to a lady that has a company, and she's sending me some stuff right now because, as you know, I don't ever tell anybody, hey, this is wonderful, this is great, and certainly not as of late. I've been burned so many times that I'm not going to just say, hey, go try this stuff, without having given it the real test. And being a journeyman electrician for a quarter of a century, I kind of know my way around this space. So some of the high-end, highfalutin stuff that I've tried so far is more polished than spit and more glitter than grit. And I told her straight up, I said, look, for me to even talk about this on the program, I'm going to have to try it out. I'm going to have to test it. And so anyway, I had all this going on in the background. I get over his house, and his name is the Ridge Ranger. Ben, the Ridge Ranger, I did a little interview with him before. Extraordinary guy, extremely interested. You had
he's done a lot in his lifetime. He's been a lot of places.
Yeah, he's worked, I mean, in the military, then, and he was telling me about some microwave experiences he had in the military And then in the civilian world, he worked as basically a ranger, park ranger. So, yeah, we're having a little bit of feedback here. Anyway, so I'm over his place, and I'm fixing the dryer that I messed up. And just out of nowhere, it seems, he says, man, and he's kind of upset about it. He's talking about, man, when we get outside the house, I'm going to show you what they just put up around me. And sure enough, it's a 5G tower, and you can literally see
it. It's a 5G tower?
That's what it looks like.
It's not just a...
Well, it's a cell tower. I'm going to guess it was probably 5G. And you can literally see it from his front porch or back porch. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm sitting here telling him the research I've been doing as of late, the mitigation strategies I've been talking about as of late, the things I know about, and that I'm reaching out to somebody right now, experts. And like I said, I keep trying this stuff because, like I said, I know how to test this stuff. This is what I did for a living for a quarter of a century. So I know how to test this stuff, and most of the stuff off the shelf is garbage. I know that for a fact. I mean, some of it's pretty highly touted, and I'm like, okay, it's not that wonderful. So here it is. I'm doing this research. I'm talking to this lady who runs this company, and then here it is. Out of the blue, he's telling me about this cell phone tower that went up. So I'm going to spend a lot more time, especially in the podcast, not in the podcast, well, maybe in the podcast, but on the YouTube channel as well, showing you some legit mitigation strategies because I know how to test it. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. And I know it doesn't sound like permaculture, but believe me, all of this stuff, remember, permaculture is nothing more than a toolbox.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Right. So, yeah. And it's people care too. So there's a lot that goes into people care.
Yeah.
And it's for a lot of us, it's the last thing that we do.
When she says us, she means her, because I've been putting in work, nephew. Yeah. And she does too in her own way, but just not as fully committed in certain areas. Because as we talked before, she's always the last to think about her. I got to make her buy clothes. I mean, story of my life, good problem to have too. But yeah. But the point being, with all of this stuff that's going on right now, Eric Sider, good friend of mine, good friend of the program, good friend of the family, all about biohacking, and his brother as well. And we're always going back and forth about some of the information we find. And so I'm going from this DIY thing, which I'm finding out a lot of people don't feel comfortable doing. It's not that difficult. I'm going to try to knock the dust off of some of the stuff that I talked about in Patreon. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, y'all, because it's really that important. We take our cell phones. They go in the Faraday bags. They go in airplane mode. Even if you did nothing else but that, it helps immeasurably. I could put a Gauss meter on it, and it makes all the difference in the world in airplane mode, unless somehow they just happen to switch it back on. But I'm going to give you mitigation strategies and as many DIY things as I possibly can, especially when it comes to these smart meters on the houses. Probably going to tick off a whole lot of energy companies out there, but mm-hmm. I'm convinced I know ways to get around this, and I know ways to fix it. So either it's going to be something off the shelf that's inexpensive, or maybe it is expensive, but I know almost certainly I can come up with a DIY, being what I am and what I've done for a long, long time. So we're going to spend more time on that stuff because really and truly, everybody around us lost their bees. They're all dead except for ours. The only way I can account for it is some of our permaculture strategies. Obviously, they work. We're not using pesticides. We're not using any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. That clearly helps. But we also had a device in there that was supposed to mitigate the 5G radiation. But I went on antennasearch.com. I think that's the name of it, antennasearch.com.
There's a bunch of, I think there's different websites you can use. I don't think there's just one. If you want to see the cell towers that are in your area.
Right. And when you do that, I'm realizing, well, there aren't a whole lot next to us.
Right.
There's really not much next to us. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. So how are we able to broadcast this program? Well, we do have fiber optics, which, by the way, is pretty doggone safe and it's faster. So why doesn't everybody have fiber optics, even though it's at the cable? That's another program. It's not a conspiracy theory. I know what I'm talking about. This is what I've done for a living. So, yeah, I'm going to cover more of that stuff in terms of how to mitigate some of this radiation. I've been doing little hacks as of late. Like if you got your phone on you, like I got right here, most of us have them. We got them all the time. There's a lot of things you can do with this thing to mitigate it. For example, if you have it in your pocket, like I do most of the day, because maybe I'm outside listening to a podcast, put it in airplane mode. Put it, believe it or not, that helps immeasurably. Just by putting it in, it doesn't eliminate anything, but it knocks down an enormous amount of stuff. So if you got a podcast, download it and then put it in airplane mode as often as you can. Don't worry, I'm going to be putting in some work on some hacks, because believe it or not, this is all part of permaculture. Because if I'm mitigating 5G radiation that could be messing with our bees or any of the other things ourselves that are sensitive to this stuff, when I'm seeing a massive difference, turning off the Wi-Fi at night, getting the phones out of the room, putting them in Faraday bags, shielding all this stuff, and I'm seeing a massive difference in my sleep. Look, where there's smoke, there's fire, and we got to start with people care.
Yep.
Yep. Which is, like I said, it's the thing that most of us are really bad at. So I'm trying to get better and better and better at it. Diet kind of went off the hook for a little while, thanks to her. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks to her making all this stuff that she doesn't eat, but wants everybody fat but her.
No.
Including yours truly. So, yeah. So anyway, getting back in the saddle again, I'm going to put a lot of work in on it. So other farm news. Sorry, I didn't mean to go that long on it, but y'all, I think it's that important. If you're finding out what I'm finding out in terms of the research I'm doing, it would absolutely floor you what they are doing through these devices. Now, I know a lot of you are probably watching this on a device right now. Put it in airplane mode as soon as the program's over. And like I said, if you're new in here, make sure you hit that thumbs up on the way in. So what else did you do today? You were painting.
Yes, I got some rice knives. We're sold out on the website, so I'm working on getting some painted, and hopefully they will be back up tomorrow. So I got those done. Did a little bit of weed eating.
A little bit. Look, she suffers back pain practically every single day. And going back to that people care, every single night, she's got back issues, some worse than others. But you sat there holding that weed eater, and then by the time I realized how long you'd been holding that thing, I was like, oh, man. And then about that time, you shut it down.
Yeah. So, but it's one of those things where when you start, if you've got a, I don't want to stop until it's all done, because it's like an actual project where I can see how much I've gotten done. I can see progress. When I come in and sit down at the computer and work at the computer, most of the time there's no progress.
Yeah, that's why so many people from the IT world get into the permaculture space, and so many others too. People that come from jobs where you don't necessarily see a physical return for the work you put in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of the downsides of this, is that when you have paperwork, whatever things you got to do, that, you know, you just don't, it doesn't feel like you have that much progress. But like you said, now the reason we're weed eating, I probably ought to cover that. So we've talked about it before, and a lot of you out there almost certainly have the same exact problem. So we got a massive slope. It was impassable. You couldn't even see daylight through it. Ran the pigs through first. Pigs did what they did. Bam. Made access. Now we ran the sheep through. They ate what they wanted. And then we came behind the sheep, cut down some of the bigger stuff. Okay, that's pass number one. Now, the pigs don't need to go back in there. In fact, I won't run them in there again, not in that area.
Yeah.
And so now it's all sheep. But here's what we're doing. With every successive pass that we run them through, you can see the improvement in the ground. First, the vines, the thorny vines, the thistles, all those things are going to be your worst multi-floor rows. When you see those things, as we always talk about, it is absolutely awful.
Well, and it's, yeah, the silver grass too. That is, I can't stand seeing them.
Yeah. So,
and that's what we were.
Well, why is it there?
Well, it's there because I believe our soils are highly bacterial.
Believe you tested it. Yeah. It's highly bacterial.
Yeah. Well, when I say I believe, I'm focusing on what the solution is. I know they're highly bacterial, but my hypothesis is that once our soil gets more fungal, then that's going to go away. So,
yeah. So, don't get a drink when Michelle's behind the microphone. Yeah. Message to me. Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know where I was at.
We were talking about weed eating.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. All right. So anyway, yeah. So anyway, these guys, with every pass, we're finding out that the Bonnie stuff it doesn't have a home. So that means you're moving from a bacterial to a more fungal environment, which is what we want for a pasture setting. We want a 50-50.
Or, and if we plant trees there too, then you definitely want a fungal.
Well, the ratio is going to be much higher. So if it's a orchard, you're going to want it about a 10 to 1. If it's a food forest, about a 10 to 1. It's only going to be beneficial if it's higher. So, I mean, like old growth forests that are really healthy, it's like up to 1,000 to 1 from fungal to bacterial. So in your fields, even though they're pasture fields out there, you still want ideally a 50-50 mix between fungal and bacteria. Right now, it's mostly bacteria. But as we've gone through and we've made this change, what are we noticing? Is that the thorny stuff is going away. Now the silvergrass has its little heyday. Yeah. Well, you can't sit here, just like they said in Forrest Gump, because you're going to be on the first thing smoking. As soon as we go through, we'd eat. Now, we did a little bit of seeding. And then now, what are we going to do? We're going to hit it with some extract.
Yep.
Yeah. So, extract, and then keep running the cycle. Keep running the cycle. And then it's going to become less bacterial, more fungal. That's exactly what we're looking for. So, anybody else out there with that same problem, this is why I keep covering that stuff, because we are, in fact, a how-to YouTube channel. Yeah, we may have some entertainment stuff on there here from time to time, but it's honestly showing you how we've taken some really dilapidated, nasty, ate-up ground and turning it into something that is really turning out to be something else. So, and it's also getting rid, as we get more fungal, we're finding, I mean, I could literally show you, and we've done in YouTube channels, where I could show you the demarcation line from myself and my neighbor, and that silvergrass literally stops right there at the fence. And now we're going to start pushing it back even more and doing him a favor, and particularly those donkeys that got running around over there. So, yeah, we did a lot of weed eating, and that was the reason why. Ordinarily, it's like, hey, and you know what? If you do cut it down real low and something like that, don't be afraid to put down hay. If you don't have enough, let's say you're showing bare ground, do not leave it bare ground. Greg Judy 101, put hay everywhere, everywhere. Believe it or not, it will make all the difference in the world. Nature hates to be naked. So other things on the farm, it's getting colder, but then it's getting warmer. T-shirt weather today. We were literally out there. I was out there in my Firmamental T-shirt. Michelle was out there in her Peace Pipe T-shirt, which has a firearm on it, which means we're going to get demonetized again.
This was a t-shirt from the War Party movement. If you are interested in supporting them, you could do a search, War Party movement, see what they're all about. If I say it, I'm sure we're going to get demonetized again, so I won't say it.
Yeah, because every single time we do one of these, y'all, we're getting demonetized. Okay, but before we go into Pastor Lon, I want to kind of, while Michelle's queuing up Pastor Lon, here's what I want to do. I want to point out that, folks, get your pruning on point. It's about that time. Right now, it's a little bit warm. It's a little bit, not all the leaves are off the trees. And the reason why, going back to my man, the great Stefan Subkowiak, Mr. Permaculture Orchard himself, one of my instructors in this space, look, if you can wait to prune when these leaves are off a deciduous tree, all the sugars, all the activity is now down in the soil. So you want to wait till those leaves are no longer there. I mean, we were literally freezing the other day, had the wood stove on, everything. And now next couple of days, it's going to be in the 60s.
I think the next couple of weeks.
Not in the 60s.
Well, we're supposed to get another cold and then it's supposed to warm back up.
Well, I'll take warm as long as I can, because I know sooner or later it's probably going to get bone chilling, but I'll take what I can. With that said, we're going to go on to homesteading pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Just before Jesus Christ was ascended back up into glory from whence he came, he gave his disciples these instructions to go into all the world and preach the gospel to whoever would listen. And that same responsibility is ours today. As being born again believers, we're supposed to take this gospel wherever we can and share it with whoever is willing to listen. It's a hard road to travel sometime, but it's worth it. And the reason we know it's worth it is because Jesus Christ traveled a hard road from the time he was born in a manger until the time he was suspended between heaven and earth on Golgotha's hill for your sins and mine. So it's worth the travel. It's worth the journey to share Jesus with others, because it was worth the journey to you and I, because he traveled all the way up Calvary's hill to die for your sins and mine.
Homesteading pastor, y'all, go check him out on YouTube. You'll be glad you did. Good man, and phenomenal family, really. I'm glad to see he's on the mend again. So, yeah, check out Homesteading Pastor, y'all. All right, with that said, we're going to get into what was formerly known as Bad News, Good News. Now it's just all good news, depending on whether or not you like my sense of good news. Well, this first one, don't worry, y'all, it's going to get better and better. Epstein and his lover, Ghislaine Maxwell, were Mossad operatives blackmailing famous personalities with videos of them betting underage girls' book claims. Okay, now, reason why I'm saying that's good news is because the veil is being lifted in so many different ways. We live in the United States of amnesia. No two ways about that. And because of the crucible of really hard times, which is approaching us right now, which is why I'm spending so much time, which is why it's reason we do what we do, because of all that stuff going on. And when things aren't so good, people will pay more attention to these dreadful stories. I mean, and they are dreadful. I mean, they are absolutely positively dreadful.
So on that note, I don't know if you saw, here's another good story. In Las Vegas, police arrested more than 70 suspected in sex trafficking ring during Grand Prix week. So 215 survivors were rescued.
Yeah. Awful stuff, y'all. This is why if we mentioned the V4CR, anybody in the chat, feel free to put what that even means. We even mentioned that. It goes to show you who runs these platforms and who runs all this stuff. If I even bring that name up, 100% guarantee they're going to cut the feed or demonetize this, all of the above, cut the channel. Who even knows? If I bring up a lot of what's going on with other organizations, they'll cut the feed too. Even though what Michelle talked about is a drop in the bucket. I mean, that is not even, law enforcement has zero, listen to the Sean Ryan show and you'll know what I'm talking about. Law enforcement has, thank you very much, Shelly in the house, Two Old Crows Homestead. Yeah, it's she wrote it right there in the chat. And so did Sandy. Thank you all so much. So, yeah, this awful, dreadful stuff that's going on out there, it is a drop in the bucket. But as times get harder, it shows, I've said it before and I'm not being funny or cute when I say it, it seems the only remedy to the depravity and the apathy we have is the crucible of really hard times. And I've even said it before that I think it's going to take starvation to cure what's going on right now. But right now, as everybody's saying, hold on, man, I've been lied to about this. People that were more than happy in the Matrix before are starting to wake up a little bit. That's why I'm calling that good news. All right, so we'll move on to another good news story. This one is actually really, really good news in my view. The health benefits. Now, like I said, I've been doing a lot of life hacks. The health benefits of morning sun and why you should rise early. Okay, I'm not going to read the whole article, but basically you're getting the full spectrum of light in early morning sunlight as opposed to midday or whatever. So one of the biohacks that they're talking about out there is getting that first light in the morning. Now, I've heard this for a while, and I'm like, well, it doesn't seem like it makes a difference. You know, why should it make a difference? And I'm like, well, I'm a farmer anyway. I'm out there anyway. So maybe I'm getting the benefits of it. But honestly, if you're a person who likes to sit in or don't get any sunlight, it's little things like this. Like Gary Brecka, another guy Eric turned me on to this, Gary Brecka talks about, there's people that spend thousands, I'm talking over $100,000 to get a bed, a light bed that simulates what morning light does in the morning. And the benefits on your health. People actually spend thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get one of these beds. Or they go to a spa where they got one of these things. And I guess you got to schedule time for it. But the cool thing about it is you get the exact same benefit just by getting some of that morning sun. So the light, obviously, you got a bunch of different wavelengths in light. but it's when you're going to be most susceptible to getting vitamin D and none of the so-called dangerous rays that you're going to have, you know, with midday sun or anything like that. So, you know, doing what we do, I basically get that all day. But I want to encourage everybody, it's the little life hacks like that, like getting up in the morning, doing a little Wim Hof breathing, or try out that breathing with Sandy Dude that she turned me on to. There's a bunch of different modalities, inexpensive things. I mean, if you want to do a cold plunge in the morning, that's highly... Look, I haven't done that part yet, at least not consistently, but I'm committed to do it. But there's another little hot life hack that I've been doing for probably a month, and it's concerning coffee. You know about it already, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so... And y'all, I would have never believed this when I heard this about a month ago. I'm like, that's why I'm just like I talked about in the very beginning of the program that I never willingly pass anything on to you that I haven't kind of test drive myself. And as many times as we've been burned, I'm really being religious about it as of late. So I want to make absolutely sure I'm not passing on bad information. So this other article is from Wellness Life Hack. Why the timing of your morning coffee is everything. Now, try not to tar and paste me with what I'm about to say, but you can vouch for it that I've been doing this for about a month. Mm-hmm. And don't drink any coffee. I'm just saying right out. Don't drink coffee until 60 to 90, actually 2 hours after you wake up. So anywhere between, they say, 90 to 120 minutes. I'm about at least 120 minutes, if not longer. Okay, so what's the advantage of doing that? When I first heard it, I'm thinking this is crazy. Well, if you get up in the morning and you have your coffee, you're wrestling with cortisol. But here's the cool thing about it. If you can delay your coffee intake, just drink water. If you can delay your coffee intake for a couple hours, you don't have that midday crash. And then you're not on the coffee bandwagon thinking, okay, I need to go back and get more coffee. Well, if your diet's still jacked up, then you might have that crash anyway, but you might be blaming it on the wrong thing. But anyway, I'd have that crash basically about noon when I'd get up and have coffee. Ever since I started, I basically don't drink any coffee until, I don't know, 8:30 or 9. A couple of great, you look like there's something funny you want to say, so go ahead and spit it out. What is it?
Well, also, Billy, I don't know that coffee affects everybody the way it affects you. I think it might be too much stimulation for you as soon as you wake up in the morning, because like doing chores with you when you have coffee and doing chores with you when you don't have coffee, it's like trying to herd cats is what it's like.
No, it ain't.
Yes, it is. It's 50 different thoughts all coming out at the same time. And we're going to do everything all right now.
Yeah. That's how, well, that's one of the downsides of my mind is that I'm a quick thinker and my brain runs faster than most. Now, I'm not saying that to brag because it's a double-edged sword. My brain runs so fast that if I'm not really cautious, I'll ask you a question and then I'm on to the next question.
And before you even listen to the answer.
Yeah. I'm on to the next one and wonder why you didn't answer the question.
And then when you do, no, you do answer. But you don't pay attention to the answer.
You just respond slowly.
And then you ask me in 5 minutes.
No, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going at 100 miles an hour. Okay, let's just say that's one of the good things. But honestly, what I have noticed is I don't need coffee anymore during the day. If I do, it's just because it's there. But it's not like I'm using it as a tool. I'm telling you what, I'll be honest with you, man. Of all the life hacks I've done so far, that has been the hardest thing by far.
Yeah, that would be difficult for me. It would have to be a life and death situation before I did that.
It was honestly fasting for 3 days for the first time was easier.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I still have, usually when you break an addiction, they say it takes 3 days. Negative. No. It's been a month. And every time I get up, I'm walking toward the coffee pot. And I'm over there saying, no. And look, y'all, it's not like I'm putting any sugar or cream or anything else. I drink it black.
I wonder if you did put cream in it or like fat, something like if it would blunt that that impact a little bit.
No, well, you know what? I'm not even going to, I've been doing it for a month now, and I'm seeing that all the studies, like this article contends, is it's actually been working out. I mean, I'm not having that crash where I feel like I need more coffee. I'm thinking, really, does it make that much difference? Well, anyway, if you don't take the coffee, you're getting the morning sun, you're grounding yourself. Believe it or not, you don't even need the coffee. In fact, I'm drinking it more, it seems, just out of habit,
yeah,
than I am because I feel like I need that kick. Because I'm pretty, I mean, I wake up pretty wired already. I mean, I'm not a person that gets out of bed thinking, oh, I got to make the donuts. Nothing like that. It's always been for me. I mean, it's really always been something that has actually been quite easy for me to do is get up in the morning. But I know it's not the case for most people. All right. So with that said, y'all, when we come back, we're going to get straight into the topic. But at first, we're going to hear from my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, the tipping point of permaculture. The tipping point is something Jeff Lawton has been obsessed with for some time. So the following is quoted directly from Jeff himself. The tipping point is when we tip over into understanding what permaculture is as a system of design, and it's what we need to do to have a future. So when I talk about the tipping point, it is when we get to a global realization that there's enough people in the world with an understanding of permaculture as a sensible, common sense design that we can all achieve. So to get to a tipping point, we need a percentage of people in that realization. Malcolm Gladwell wrote the book called Tipping Point. From his research, there are many different variations of the tipping point. When something becomes a phenomenon, when something becomes a plague, when something becomes a fashion, you get to a tipping point. And generally, he found it wasn't 51%. It wasn't just over half. It was actually 12 to 18%. Once you get to about 12 to 18%, evidence tips in that direction, whether it's an epidemic or whether it's a new belief system or it's a new fad or fashion. He studied many, many diverse variations of events that got to tipping point somewhere around 12 to 18%. So once we get to 12 to 18% of the population that understands that there's an ethical design science system that we can use and we can apply to give us a permanent, sustainable, abundant supply line and a future for our biosphere, our planet, then we all tip in that direction and it becomes standard behavior. That's what we're after. We're after that tipping point. So how do we speed up the tipping point? You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there. Once again, yeah, as far as a tipping point, I mean, think about this, y'all. It only took, I mean, everybody says, yeah, we fought the American Revolution. We did, yeah, 3% of we fought it. So all it takes is an irate, dedicated minority to make anything, think about it, anything for good or ill has always historically been done by an irate minority.
Right.
So, you know, that's exactly the place we got to get to. But man, what a beautiful day that would be. We hit that 12, 15%. We just need to make permaculture cool. We need to make farming cool. We need to make growing sweet potatoes in your windowsill cool. We need to, you know, all these things where we can make it cool. And I see it getting there. I see it. And part of it is doing what we're doing right now, evangelizing this awesome, magnificent design science we call permaculture to everybody and anybody that will absolutely listen to it. You know, before we had a platform, you can ask anybody I've ever worked with in the trade that I'm in, the electric trade. And I don't care if it was, I would evangelize this, what I did and what we do, to my tool buddy, to a group of people at a break table. It didn't matter. If we were there in any way, shape, or form, permaculture is my passion. And believe me, I made it known everybody I was around. And I never forgotten that, how passionate I was just talking to a tool buddy or somebody that might have even slightly demonstrated any interest in what I do. And, you know, I can't believe it is what it is right now. So all of you on board, all of y'all in the chat right now, thank you so much for being here. Thanks a million. All right, before we get into the main topic, y'all, EMP Shield, promo code PERMA will knock $50 off. Like I said, I'm a journeyman electrician, 25 years of experience, IBEW electrician on top of that. And y'all, I got to tell y'all, I have never installed anything better on the market. They did not hit me up like any other advertiser here. I went to them because that's how good the product is. And also, the number one threat to your home is not necessary. I would have said until a couple of years ago, wasn't going to be an EMP. I was going to tell you it would be lightning, and it probably still is. But if it does jump off, bolt of lightning hits your house, Kentucky fries everything downstream, EMP shield's going to cover you for 25 G's. Nobody else on the market has a deal like that. They got them for your car, your boat, your generator, everything. So go to EMP Shield, 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA. All right, straight into the topic. Well, here we are. Thanksgiving is coming gone. And, you know, the impetus for this, to even talk about this, had to do with a statistic, or it may have been on a podcast. I've taken so much media that I can't exactly pinpoint where it came from. But I did not realize how many record numbers of people from Thanksgiving all the way through the new year are absolutely depressed. I mean, tis the season to get wacky, you know? Whether it's, you know, a lot of people, you know, let's be honest here. Life's greatest injustice is the inability to choose your own family. So some people are thinking, oh, my goodness, Christmas is coming up. I don't want to be like a social pariah. I'm going to show up there. Man, they're my family, but well, hey, before we get into that, y'all, just because a family doesn't necessarily make them good for you. So, yeah, I mean, there are some toxic family members out there. So just keep that in mind. Maybe it isn't in your best interest to go to these holiday things. Maybe using some of the methods that we've used and what you might consider might help with some of the holiday blues. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, I think also this time of year, for me, there's a couple of things that happens this time of year. The days get shorter. It gets dark early. It gets cold. Christmas is coming. The holidays aren't happy for a lot of people. Like, some people are by themselves. It's just not as happy for a lot of people. So, but for me, it's not just Christmas. It's cold. It's dark. There's a lot of variables.
Well, let's also consider the fact that you absolutely hate, and hate's a strong word, the commercialism of what it's become.
Well, yeah. And then there's that too. There's the whole where you hear Christmas commercials in August.
In August. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they're turning anybody who may have liked Christmas into they're at the point where they can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, no, but it's so much overload that you're like, man, I don't even like it anymore. I don't even like that time of, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It is, if I'm not careful, it is a frustrating part of the year. It used to be a real agony because she and I just don't celebrate it and haven't for years.
Yeah.
For a whole variety of reasons. And parts of it had to do with the commercialism. I remember watching like an episode of Little House on the Prairie, and they gave Pa a pair of socks, and my man was over the top. Like, oh yeah, man, some socks. Thanks, Laura. Hey, thanks for knitting these up for me. And I'm like, where did that go? So I think, like a lot of other people out there, I think they probably have the same. I just wonder how many of y'all in the chat, or how many people out there are just absolutely disgusted. So you get into this time of year, you're like, okay, I'm going to buy G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. Whoever I give it to is going to hate it, or they're not going to like it. They're going to put it away. Look, y'all, we just don't participate. Yeah. And that's how it is. We tell our family, look, we're not into it. And we haven't for years.
Yeah. That was the point that I started to get really frustrated. If there are kids that, or people, adults that needed something, and you knew what that was, and you could get them for it, and you could get it for them, and they would love it and appreciate it, that's one thing. But most of the time, what happens is you're shopping for your whole entire family. You don't know what they want. You don't know what they need. They probably don't need anything, really. They probably have too many toys that they don't play with now. And whatever I get them, they're just going to throw it in the corner, and it's just going to be a waste of my time and a waste of my money.
Yeah, but you know who is easy to shop for? I guarantee it. Everybody in this chat right now, everybody listening to this podcast right now, I guarantee you, if we were go to a Dirty Santa, what do you call them things where you give out presents or whatever?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different names for them.
Or I tell you what, if we just had like a potluck where everybody says, okay, bring a gift for somebody in this room. Because we're all congregated here right now, buying gifts for each other in this chat and otherwise would be insane simple. You know, I mean, I could wrap up some bone sauce or a rice knife or everybody in this chat, or you would send me things. We automatically know what each other would probably dig. You know, it would be maybe something gardening, maybe some little gadget or whatever, because we're all in this space. We generally know what each other wants. So that's one thing. But if it's in another, I mean, plus there's a whole lot of people that just don't have anybody out there.
Right.
You know, it's those people. I'll give you a prime example. I was one of those people every time Michelle and William would go to New York to go visit her family. And I would be home by myself. Either I couldn't stay away that long because I had to work. This is years ago. So I made it something of a tradition because honestly, we weren't celebrating it. She and I mean, it's like we see it for what it is, just not going to participate. So yeah, I had this little ritual, I guess. I would go to Waffle House and I'm like, okay, the lady working at the Waffle House, she's waiting on me. You know what, man? I'm just going to give her $100 tip, you know? And you know, don't be a schmuck about it where you just sit there and you just, hey, this is for me, poor person. Yeah, you don't do anything dumb like that. You just pay for your meal. Hey, have a nice day. Put it on a plate, walk away. Or, you know, put it under the plate, walk away. Don't even stick around to see the response. Right. But obviously, you don't want some schmuck there next to you that's going to snatch it up either. So you want to be smart about it. But the point being is that I'd get out of there, jump in the truck, and then I could see them pick it up, and then you could see their face light up. Mm-hmm. Because 9 times out of 10, that waitress working at the Waffle House has got somebody at home.
All right.
And you're here on Christmas.
And you're not making very much money.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So that was something of a tradition that I would do. And I was like, okay, I'm sure some other people in here are doing the same thing. And, you know, all I know is that maybe her life just got a little bit easier, or maybe she was able to do something for somebody that meant something. Honestly, nobody's going to say, hey, put me on. Most people are not going to say, put me on Christmas. So that's one of the things. Look, for the longest time in my life, when I was at my worst, and you've heard me talk a little bit about it in one of the earlier podcasts, when I was dealing with a fair amount of self-loathing and a number of other things, I'll be honest with you. The one way I was able to cope with all of that, the thing that made me cope with a lot of that, was really a couple of things, but one of them was volunteerism. I mean, I did so much volunteer work, you know, whether it was back in the day, it was Habitat for Humanity, then I quit messing with those guys. For a whole variety of reasons, you know, it was us in the skilled trades that actually built this thing. But every time you'd see a commercial, they'd talk to, they would do the commercials and they would talk about the doctors, the lawyers, and all. I'm like, hey, dude, you know how many Habitat houses I built? I ain't ever seen a doctor or a lawyer on any of those. All I ever saw was skilled trades out there. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me go find another one. So it was Christmas in October. We did that one all through Kansas City. Still goes on. And it's a really good thing. And then there was a whole variety of other things. It was, no matter how down in the dumps I was concerning myself, it always made it better extending help to others. If you want the best way to get over any kind of depression, my advice to you, start drinking heavily. No.
No.
No, don't do that. Hey, I was joking. Don't do that. No, my advice to you, honestly, is go do something for somebody. And I mean, it makes all the difference in the world. Obviously, it's going to sound almost cliche, but how about
no, it's true, because once you, if you do something, like if you put yourself out there, a lot of times you're going to find out. Like for me, this is just a personal, what I've noticed. Sometimes we get doing this kind of work. We're here by ourselves and we get stuck in our own heads. So our problems are just magnified. If you get out and go do something for somebody else, it makes you realize your problems aren't as big as you think they were, or they're not as big as you had them made out to be. Like, and your problems are actually like, I'm trying to think of this one thing. It's like, when you realize what other people are dealing with, you're going to choose your own problems, because other people's problems are so, people have some pretty big things that they're dealing with. So, I think that's a great, thing to do, is get out and just volunteer, do something for somebody.
Yeah. I think that's exactly, like, this Christmas, since we're kind of officially empty nesters now, that's one of the things she and I have already talked about, is, going out there feeding some of the homeless bums. Scratch that. Hey, sorry for the live audience. Old habits die hard. Okay. Some of the homeless, what do you call them, people? Oh, homeless.
No. They're not homeless. They're unhoused.
Oh, unhoused. Yeah. That's what they call them now. Yeah. When I grew up, they were called bums. Okay. Sorry. But, the unhoused population, that's what they call them now. Man, I'm almost ready to go down another rabbit hole, but I'm not going to do it. Look, that's one of the things we're going to do this year. And it's not because I feel this natural compulsion. And it's, like I said, it almost seems cliche, but even at my worst, I always felt better when I was in service. My name is Billy, okay? And you look at the meaning, it's William, obviously, means protector, Wilhelm, you know, put on a helmet. And I've always seen myself to a certain extent as that. And so being able to live up to the meaning of my name, it means a lot to me. Like even the Bible says in Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So, yeah, I know that the variations of what that means could be a number of things, but let's just say with my name, I'm trying to live up to it and be that protector. At least I'm trying to be. And if I can go out there, because I've been blessed with so much, even at my worst, I mean, my worst day on earth is better than probably the best day on earth for somebody living in Calcutta, or somebody in LA, or somebody in downtown Kansas City. You know what I mean? It's relative. And when you see some of this earth and you realize even our homeless people, I mean, think about it. They're homeless, right? But all the ones around Asheville, they all got brand new shoes and a cell phone. I dare say the homeless in Calcutta ain't walking around with cell phones. They're in, you know, situations like Slumdog Millionaire. But look, y'all, that's going to be, I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's Pete the Squatch, he said it a minute ago. We ought to be doing this stuff all year long. But it's especially at this time. Do you know any old folks around that don't have family? You know, if we don't live in a highly populated area. But I guarantee you, if I knew, we do other things for some of the older community around here. I won't talk about what that is, but we do things. And we help feed them in our way. And if you know who those people are, inflation is through the doggone roof. Do you have any extra meat in the freezer? Maybe they're really proud and just don't even ask them. Say, look, hey, I got this extra turkey, or I got this extra pulled pork, or better still, you don't want to cook? Why don't you come on over to my place? You know, it could be any number of things. Yeah, some of these folks, you bring them in. Yeah, the mashed potatoes taste like mothballs, but that ain't really the point. It's putting a smile on somebody's face and letting them feel a little less alone. She and I started watching this little bit of a program on Netflix, and it's about longevity, about blue zones in the world. Okay. Zones. And those are the places on Earth where, I mean, we don't watch TV, but it's like, okay, so every blue moon we'll watch something. So she pulled up this program called Blue Zone. And in a nutshell, it's basically all these zones on planet Earth where the population, believe it or not, quite a few of them live to well over 100 years old. And so they're trying to find the commonalities between these things. You know, the one thing they all have in common, and of course, we're only like two episodes in, but the things we've seen so far is in every single one of those cases, and these high, long-lived things, is they have community, old folks' community.
Right.
So it means we're in a bind, honey.
Well, but also, and that's, we have like social media. We have all these ways to stay connected. And I've heard that we are the most, we have the loneliest population that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Because people are so disconnected.
Well, or you'll go to a restaurant like Pastor Lon, I think, was talking about it. Got a room full of, got a table full of boys and they all looking at the cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's there. I'm like, okay, where's the interaction? You and I have seen it. We've gone out and I'm like, why did they even go out together?
Yeah. Everybody's on their phone.
There's no connection. I'm trying not to go too far afield, but they did this experiment on NPR. This was years ago where they took the phones away from these kids, put them out in the wilderness, and they said they were having withdrawal symptoms like a crackhead. So the point being, their community means something. These people were no longer worried about their, what did they say? It took like 4 days and they were no longer thinking about the phone. It was community they were creating. Well, what they're finding out in some of these longest lived communities, societies, places on earth, is that they all have a, now there's other factors as well, but chief among them is the old folks feeling valued because they should be. You should be going to them for advice. You should be going to them for, hey, you know, where am I going right? Where are we going wrong? And because they have this role there, it's one of the things that helps. They think that's one of the several factors, at least, that has these people living to a very long time. So right around these holidays, you know, some old folks around there. Yeah, some of these folks are a little bit ornery, but maybe they wouldn't be if you were to bring them over. Just don't let them cook nothing. Just bring them over. Go pick them up. You're going to feel better. You know, I mean, look, y'all, it's just all the way around. Every time we do something like, you know, one of the latest things we did, we helped raise a lot of money for certain causes. We never see that. We're not in it for the, hey, attaboy or none of that stuff. But this is what I pray for. I pray that we can throw so much money at this problem that you've heard us talk about a little while ago, one of them being V4CR, that we're no longer needed. To teach people to grow food so much that we're no longer needed. To have comfrey so far and wide that it can't ever be sold. There's goals for all this stuff. And I got to say, at the end of the day, there is a high degree of altruism because we don't have to do this. I love to do it, and I'm so thankful to be in a position of where I can help and where she can help. And where all of you guys, I mean, out there, you're doing so much to help. Just being right here in this chat, in this live, listening to it as you drive to work is a massive, massive benefit to all those involved. In fact, you're a great benefit to the community I'm part of, which is right now here in this present chat. All right, y'all, please, please, absolutely, positively reach out to the old folks. Do good works. Do everything you possibly can. And it's going to go a long way. It's going to go a real long way into this, what you think is a really dreary holiday season, honey. Is there anything else you'd want to add?
No, I think that's, I think that's it. Come on, January.
January, what? It's going to be even colder.
No, that's when the seed catalogs come.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad we straightened that one out.
You can start planning for spring.
Well, look, y'all, if you got any of the holiday things going on, remember, check out Chef Snow. We're going to have his stuff linked to the podcast and also the YouTube channel as well. You got some of his spices down there. Michelle bought some of his spices.
And his coffee is great, too.
Yeah, his coffee is off the meat wagon. So let's hear from Chef Snow.
Hey, Chef Keith Snow, with your PimpCast tip of the day, building food security, canned protein is an important prep. Meat contains protein. That said, it's going to be expensive as we continue to push back against the globalists' mission to de-meat the world. Remember, you will eat the bugs, and you will eat the bug protein and the GMO monocrop garbage, which will increase the waistlines, disease, and medical bills of most Americans, thus creating weak-minded and easily controlled citizens. We can avoid this by putting protein first, but protein is expensive and hard to store, so what can we do? Well, I put a big emphasis on frozen protein and canned protein. I store the following canned proteins in quantities. Several types of tuna fish. I like to keep the kind that's packed in water and in olive oil. I also keep chicken. I keep beef, pork, corned beef, ham. Now, I'm the first to admit that cooked and canned meat is not nearly as good as fresh, but you can make it work in a pinch. Learn more about what to store over at Food Storage Feast and use the coupon code PERMA to save $30.
Take Bam! Care. That's what I'm talking about. Chef Keith Snow, I think he's even in the chat right now. At least I thought I saw him go through there, but mm-hmm. then again, this thing's so far away.
He's up there.
Yeah, okay. Cool, yeah, definitely check out Keith Snow. Believe me, y'all, you're going to be glad you did. He's got some great spices. What, you ordered two of everything, huh?
Well, he has a pack on there. I just ordered the variety pack, and I think he sent a couple extra too. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. You got to speak up, honey. You got to talk into that mic, baby. Got to holler if you hear me. All right, so we're going to go into Q&A thing. If you got anything, y'all, leave it in capital letters if you would. It's not like I'm having a hard time seeing that screen right now. So, yeah, I don't know if that thing can get any bigger. Anyway, right here, we got one from Philip. Came out before. Here it is in a nutshell. I won't go through all of it. But basically, he says, my girlfriend and I are looking to get something reasonable. Hang on. He heard a while back about how to buy land. I've talked about how to buy land on the cheap. And basically, he's saying he and his girlfriend are looking to basically find a place. And he's saying, hey, can we point them in the right direction? Okay, if I weren't weed eating right before this podcast, my intention was to go right on the Craigslist and see what's available. And in a nutshell, I've talked about it before. I've even done a podcast on it, but it's been a long time ago, so I'm not expecting anybody to go back and find it. In fact, I need to do an updated version of it and talk to you how. Okay, it's really this simple. If you live in a tax lien state, or tax deed state, you can start there. That's one way to do it. Worst case scenario, they actually buy the tax lien back from you, but you make 25% on your money depending on the state, okay? Okay, that's one way. Another way, go to Craigslist. And what I've noticed before is that if you could find 5 to 10 acre tracts, you'd be shocked at how cheaply you can purchase it. Because 9 times out of 10, if you can find it in the right spot, it's some old boy that, let's say, has maybe he inherited, and a lot of times that's what happened. He or she might have inherited some land. Let's say it's 100 acres. And on that 100 acres, well, let me back up. They went and bought a truck they can't afford. So now they're going to sell off 5 acres because they need to get ahead of this truck payment. Maybe something didn't come through. 9 times out of 10, that is exactly the problem. So let's say they got 5 acres and just easy numbers. Let's say they want, I don't know, $30,000 for it. Okay. Let's say that's what you're going to pay for it. So one of the methods I used before is like, okay, dude, first of all, no bank is going to loan you nobody's going to loan you that with no 10% down. In fact, these days you're lucky if they will loan you that amount on bare land with any less than 50% down. Unless you have a really good relationship with that bank, ain't going to happen. So here's another little method you could do. Say, okay, Jack, I'm going to pay you 30 G's. Don't even try to talk him down because you're going to save money on another way. Here's how you do it. So I'm going to pay you your 30 G's, but here's how this is going to go down. I'm not going to pay any interest at all. I'm going to give you $500 down and $500 a month. You can structure it that way or however it works out for you. Because remember, you're solving that person's problem. When I saw him meet up on the property and I saw the truck he's driving, yeah, I'm like, okay, he just needs to meet that truck payment. And that's all I got to solve. So go out there and say, look, okay, I'll give you your full asking price, but I'm going to give you, it could be anything you work out, but the more the better because you pay it off quicker. So let's say it was $500 down, $500 a month. I will go to an escrow company. I'll write up a contract, have my brother, who just happens to be a real estate attorney, draw up the contract. And in that contract, it says, and this is what usually gets them to take the hook, is if I miss 3 consecutive payments, not only do you take the land back, you keep all the money and you keep any improvements that I made upon that property. So from the person, from the seller's standpoint, they're like, how can I possibly lose? Of course, they don't want to be the one to necessarily own or finance, but you're solving the truck problem issue. You're giving them $500 down, $500 a month, and three consecutive. So let's say you hit you missed January, February, you paid March, and then April, you didn't. Yeah. Okay. Three consecutive. That's the thing. And they overlook it nine times out in the contract. You ought to be trying to pay your doggone bills anyway, but everybody gets in a bind every once in a while. So three consecutive payments. Never had anybody turn that deal down. And it is a way to buy land. Like I said, I'll probably do an entire show about it because it's not that difficult. It really isn't. It's just everybody seems to think you got to go get a loan from a bank. No, you can do this stuff. If the person, they will own or finance if you just find out what the problems are, solve that problem. And nine times out of 10, it's a boat, it's a truck, it's a fifth wheel, it's something they can't afford. Nine times out of 10, they inherited the land and they have no respect for it. So they sell off 5-10 acres and there you have it. That's one of many techniques, but it's a longer answer than I probably should have provided, but that's honestly a tried and true technique. Never had it not work. Just go give it a shot. All right. What do you got, honey?
All right. I have a couple questions. I believe I missed some, so I apologize if I missed any. What seed catalogs are you getting? I think some of my favorite, I really like Southern Exposure Seed Exchange. They have great varieties. They are for the South, so people in the North probably wouldn't want to get that catalog, but they're great for the South. So True Seeds is a local company, but we do get some seeds from there. Seed Savers Exchange is another good, it's another good place to get seeds. There is a company out there that has an excellent seed catalog that I love to look through. Their germination rates just aren't great, so I don't buy seeds from them, but they have a great catalog. And if you can, some of the varieties you might just look through, pick them out, and then see if there's any other place you can order them.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, so we got another one. Like I said, we show all the warts too. Had one from Walter. He was a longtime subscriber, and he writes this letter, not a letter, it's an email, and basically says, look, man, I got to drop off of Patreon. And then he says, look, man, I'm going to focus on scripture and following his guidance in my life. YouTube is great, but there are dozens of channels I'll be unsubscribing to as there's way too much gloom and doom. I'll stay subscribed to your channel for now. Thanks. no, I get it. I mean, there's more here. And thank you, Walter. I mean, most people, when they drop off, they just drop off, you know. I appreciate, because honestly, it gives me some direction. There are times where all of us get tied up into a certain pattern of behavior. That's why I got rid of the bad news section of this podcast. It's because I was like, do you really need me to tell you any more of it? I mean, let's talk about some of the good stuff out there. You don't need me telling you about any of that, but I totally get it. You know, there's another person that wrote to me a while back saying, yeah, I can't even afford, man, it's heartbreaking when you have somebody say, look, I can't even afford the dollar a month. And I get it, man. I totally get it. I mean, there's so many people that are on a fixed income, got all the money in the world to fight, to just give it away to people who are willing to murder other people, or let's go bomb somebody or put some depleted uranium in the water supply in Iraq, whatever the case may be. But meanwhile, we got old folks here flipping coins, deciding whether or not they're going to take their heart medication or whether or not they're going to eat. So yeah, we got some things sideways in this country. So yeah, I totally get it, Walter. What do you got, honey?
All right. I see a couple of questions asking about how William and the family is doing. They are doing great. Baby June is growing.
Just turned a month.
Yep. William sent pictures the other day. She already looks like she's grown since they've left. So everybody's doing great.
Yeah. So we got one here. Check this out. When we did that thing talking about the goats that got stabbed last week, okay? I got an update from Troy and Jody. Basically, they exhumed the goats. And exhumed goats. I didn't even know that was a thing. And they sent them off to Clemson for, you know, to go check them out, basically do some kind of autopsy on them. And it was determined that a pack of stray dogs killed the goats. But somehow they got into the barnyard, killed the goats, but not the chickens. Look, yeah, I don't take back anything I said. There are still some whack jobs out there. And it seems a little bit, I mean, I don't know who did this test, but you can usually tell when a dog did something.
Yeah, the original article said that they were stabbed, right? There's a big difference between stab wounds and a dog attack.
Yeah, there's something not making sense there to me on that one. I don't know. I mean, it went to a university, so granted, I'm going to be skeptical anyway. But usually when a dog does something like that, I've seen a yellow lab kill chickens just to kill them, but she was playing with them. Well, I don't know if she was playing with them, but she killed them.
I think she was killing them.
She was killing them. I mean, dead right out there, watching them right out the window in the bathroom. And I'm like, am I seeing this? Yeah. So that sort of thing does happen. I just don't know how you can mistake that, because normally when a dog does something like that, they're not just going to kill them and then go away. Animals kill other animals for generally reasons. You know, even if something kills your chickens, you can determine a lot about what killed that animal based on what's left.
Right. Or, yeah, exactly. How it was done.
Yeah. It seems odd that, I don't know. I mean, that seems a little bit weird. But hey, if that is in fact the case, man, at least some lunatic ain't out there. Some maniac ain't out there stabbing goats, man. It's believable. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, stabbing. I had a little bit of time to think about that. And I'm like, that for somebody to stab, that seems pretty personal, to stab somebody's livestock. Something. Yeah. Sue Ann asked, do you have a good fruit tree catalog to get? Fedco has a fruit. They have a catalog. It includes fruit trees, but a lot of the sources are online. If you're in the South, there's Century Orchard has some Southern varieties. Big Horse Creek is another Southern varieties. If you're in the North, my goodness, you can find a ton of nurseries up North. But I don't see too many fruit tree catalogs in print other than Fedco.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, for a lot of those things, believe it or not, I mean, right now we're going to always recommend that you plant your trees in the fall and winter, depending on where you are. We've given all the reasons as to why. That's Dr. Carl Whitcomb out of Oklahoma State University did extraordinary work. I remember Stefan kind of directed me to that, and I got to looking at it. And I know Eric Sider also examined his work, has these pots and everything that are really, really awesome that he invented. But the point being is that what you find out, instead of putting them in the spring, you're going to have way better survivability if you can get, first of all, bare root and put it in the fall and the winter. You're going to be glad you did. And your survivability rate, its adaptability, is going to be so much better.
But some of these nurseries only ship out like late winter, spring. A lot of them don't ship in the fall.
So there's always Craigslist also. I mean, you could actually, believe it or not, you can get some decent stuff off
or of Etsy. If you, there's a lot of people selling bare root stuff on Etsy too.
Amy B. Hey, thanks, Amy. So she has a question. Can you use compost extract to inoculate biochar? And if so, how long should it soak? Okay. So the problem with biochar at first is going to be a little bit hydrophobic. So it's going to take a little bit. You can spritz that stuff. And remember, for those that don't know, Jack Spearco has done a lot of work on biochar, and there's a lot of others out there that have too. I started getting into using it more and more, and I add it to my compost. So all it is, imagine it as nothing more than an apartment building for microbes. It's more than that, but I'm just going to simplify it a little bit. I think the best way of going about it is spritzing it with some of that extract. Now, I remember Dr. Elaine used compost tea, but doing extract should do exactly the same thing. The thing about the compost tea is that it makes, when you make, the difference between compost extract and compost tea is that compost extract is meant to have the organisms be able to permeate the soil, okay? When you do compost tea, believe it or not, it's meant to create something of a tacky glue substance to where it sticks to whatever it's applied to. So it's going to be on the leaves. It's going to be on the bark. It's going to be on the stems. It's going to be on all those things. So that's the difference between a compost extract and a compost tea. In that extract, this is going to be my best educated guess. I'm thinking the extract is going to work. I think either one of them would work, but I think the extract is going to penetrate. I think the microorganisms are going to find their way into the smallest crevices of that biochar doing it that way. So, yeah, I would spritz it. I don't know how you would even get that stuff to soak. I think you would have to spritz it, spray it on, and then move it around, then spray it again, and then let it colonize that way. Because yeah, a lot of the biochar that I mess with is hydrophobic at first. But yeah, but once it gets charged, it's off to the races. Plus, it's going to maintain a lot of water in the soil. Michelle, can you read that? Because I can't see it.
I see mixed opinions on Moringa being a nitrogen fixer. Would you be able to help clear this up? I would have to look that up, because there's a lot of times people say this thing is a nitrogen fixer, and there is a chart out there. I'll have to look for it, but it tells you varieties and how much nitrogen they actually fix. There are species that fix more than others. But I would have to look Moringa up, because like we've heard that repeatedly about a bunch of different plants. Oh, it's a nitrogen fixer. And then you look it up and it's like, no, it's not really.
You know, Moringa oleifera, I've grown it before down in Texas, and man, the rate at which that stuff grows is like, I mean, if there was ever a Nephilim tree, man, it's got to be Moringa. Of course, all the fantastic benefits of it. If you can grow it, man, there is no way I would not.
The leaves look a little like nitrogen fixer.
I was going to say that very thing. Yep. It does. If you look at a Moringa, it almost looks like some kind of leguminous tree. That doesn't mean that it is, but it sure looks like one. Everything's edible practically on it. I mean, it's a fantastic tree. If you're in one of the warmer climates, good night, man. There is no way on earth I would not be growing Moringa. And it could be used for so many different things, mm-hmm. and it's super easy to propagate. We grew some in Texas. In fact, I grew quite a few of them, and I had one that actually made it.
Yeah.
And it was it was Moringa oleifera. And there's other cultivars out there of it. And looking at it, it almost reminds me of some kind of, what's the word? I mean, it has pods. It has all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does look like it's a leguminous tree. So, but I really don't know. Somebody says it's great for eating and chop and drop. Yeah. I mean, good night, man. If you're needing some serious chop and drop, man, there is no way I wouldn't put Moringa, whether it was or wasn't a nitrogen fixer.
Well, you could almost grow it. There's one variety specifically that is that's supposed to be the most health, have the most health benefits. You could almost grow it as an annual because they grow so fast.
Yeah, you could. I mean,
it wouldn't survive here for sure, because we had to wrap them in Texas.
Yeah, in Texas, we wrap styrofoam around them, and we have one that actually made it
right
through to the next year.
But it would be worth it almost to grow it as an annual, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, good night. All right, well, thank y'all so much. Thank you so much for coming in here. Remember, hit that thumbs up if you haven't already. Tell everybody about the show. And thank y'all. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. They don't want an individual, just a carbon copy. You sit in that manicotti. Yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they want to build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. The kamikaze got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spill me, but the center of the next is me. They want me to battle. I'm on.